Were you brought up as?
I was brought up Christian. Wow, this is definitely not going to make it into the episode.
To season 2, episode 10. Made it through 10 so far this year, Doug, of the Filmed Insert podcast.
This is gonna be a heftier season, right? Would you say?
Oh, it's definitely gonna be a heftier season.
It's like a million episodes we're shooting for.
Right. I mean, we're much better now at doing one a week than we were in the past, I think. Yeah. We're very good, and that is definitely due to Doug's persistent podcast producing. So everybody who enjoys a podcast on a weekly basis, thank Doug for it. So Doug, it's getting close to Christmas time. How are you handling the holiday stress?
I'm not doing too bad. I'm not doing too difficultly. Mm. What?
Sounds like your speech cut and cognition is breaking down a bit. That's a sign of stress.
Yeah, maybe I am stressed out. I didn't even know. I think I'm more stressed out about the end of the year.
Why is that?
Because end of the year lists, right? We got pressure.
That's right. This is the time of the year that everybody's doing their end of the year lists, which you know, you see these all the time. The top this, the top that of 2011. I always enjoy these lists. Usually they come out a little bit later, but we're gonna do ours a little bit early to get you guys in the season a little bit. So we decided Doug and I would do each our top 5 music videos of 2011.
We did decide that. And how are we going to do this? Are we going to like do your 5, my 5, and roll on down?
Let's do one-to-one ratio. Start with both of our 5s and then keep going down. So we should talk about the criteria.
That's what I meant. I know that it didn't sound like that's what I meant, but that's what I meant.
Let's go you first then me.
First? Me 5?
Doug Klinger first, yeah.
Me number 5 video is The Left Rights, I'm on Crack, directed by Mike Diva and PD Flo, and starring the talented Josh Haraway. Listeners of this podcast may be aware of this video because they were our first interview, those three gentlemen.
All the way back in January 2011.
Right, way back when. This is the second season, however, it all took place within 1 year, 2 seasons. I don't know if that's a normal thing. I think it's just because we call it that. But it's my first video, Mad Effects.
Now, what do you enjoy about this video?
The effects, I think it was like, I guess when it, you know, going back to the personal relevance and this show relevance, I think that the fact that they were our first guests on our podcast and like kind of like kicking us off, kind of plays heavy into this choice.
And that's a good choice. And I think I might as well go for my number 5. And for my number 5, I've got Lotus Flower by Radiohead, directed by Garth Jennings. And you remember, I think in February of 2011, this music video, as well as Britney Spears' Me Against the World or whatever. God, I hate that woman's music. One of her videos came out, and there was definitely a big contrast between her big sort of bombastic video and the Radiohead one, which just features Thom Yorke just dancing in a warehouse. And it's a... It was a video that was very popular, but it also spawned a lot of parodies. There's a great mashup, which we should link to in the show notes, of him dancing and Willow Smith's Whip My Hair back and forth. But
nice.
Anyway, it's a really fantastic sort of minimalist video, and the thing I really liked about it is what it showcased what Thom Yorke was not really known for, but if you had seen him live, you really knew he knew how to do well, which is dance. It's the only thing I liked out of Radiohead that came out this year, so that's my number 5.
And that's also got a little bit of Filmed Insert relevance, because that was what you did with the early film, then, sir. Didn't you talk about that video, or was that an early blog post or something like that?
It might have been, yeah.
It was. Don't be coy. So my numero quattro, comes from Virginia MC Pusha T, featuring Tyler the Creator. The song is "Trouble on My Mind," and it was directed by Jason Goldwatch. And I really enjoy this music video because it kind of shows, I don't know, like at the beginning of the music video, it shows Pusha T and Taylor kind of like putting masks on, and like it looks like they're about to like rob somebody or something like that. And then they just start throwing eggs at people. And from there on, it's like a lot of ridiculousness with old ladies and wheelchairs. And two things that, when combined, make for an awesome music video.
There you go. That is a good one. My number four is the only one I've picked from our podcast lineup, just because I really enjoyed this video a lot, which was Kina Grannis in Your Arms. And this isn't really a heavy music video or one that's really emotionally charged or anything like that, but I just thought it was visually really a stunning video. This is the one that, if you'll recall, a few podcasts back, we had Greg on the podcast, and it was done entirely with a jelly bean background. And I thought the attention to detail, and jelly beans tend to be really colorful. And if you look at every frame of that video, it's just a really beautiful mosaic. We saw a lot of, more emotionally charged or more sort of, I guess, it had emotional meaning video throughout the podcast season. But I'd say that was definitely my favorite. In terms of, like a sitting down and enjoying it podcast, enjoying music video experience. And it was good enough for the Ellen show, so that definitely was one of the ones that we looked at that broke into the mainstream. So that is my number four, Kina Grannis, In Your Arms.
Sweet choice for your number four. My number three is actually my third guest from the podcast in a row. Like that's a bad thing. It is Prince E, Backwards Rappers. For me, this was kind of like an obvious choice. The video like really caught my eye. I had never heard of Prince E before. That's kind of like the first case of that's the only case of any of my choices where I hadn't heard of the artist or the director before the video came out, and it kind of really caught my attention. We talked a lot about it on the show. We had Princey on the show. We all know what happens. It's a really, really kind of feat of lyric writing and making that those lyrics match with the video. So Backwards Rappers number three, Doug Klinger's list.
Adam Fairholme's list, number three. Now, if you had to ask me what was the single biggest song of 2011, I would definitely tell you LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem. Now, not that because it's just a fan, not because it's a great song or anything like that. It was just a song that I think more than any one of the year just kind of defied being played out. It's still being played on the radio very frequently. It really kind of took off during the early months of the summer. And with any large video, very popular video, you have a music video to go along with it, obviously. And this one, usually with, really, really popular videos, the music videos are either a little too premise heavy, or they're not really well executed. They're done really kind of in a hurried rush. This one was directed by Mickey Finnegan, and it was one that I really, really enjoyed. I watched it over and over during the summer, because it's just a really fun video. And I think that definitely the personalities of LMFAO, because they're such kind of huge personalities, really carry it. And I think we saw, I can't remember what award show it was just a few weeks ago, where they basically reenacted most of the video in the Sexy and You Know It video. Which is becoming definitely a trend on award shows, is to reenact videos. So that definitely was one that was really well done, really put together, and really enjoyable. And I thought it was a great video match for a really popular song. And that is my number three.
Not an obvious choice for you, Adam. You haven't talked at all about that video this season.
I'll get you, Doug.
I was like waiting to give you a chance to like. I think it's more because I needed to make sure to interact with you. I don't want this to just become like us shouting our choices back and forth. I need to say something to you. We need to be part of the show together.
Interaction.
Interaction is important
Interaction.
for the podcast. My number two pick, getting close.
This is getting close to
It,
number one. There's only one away
yeah,
from number one from here.
right. That is how counting works. my it's my number two choice is for a band called Is Tropical, and the song's called The Greeks. The video was directed by Megaforce. Megaforce makes kind of some of the most kind of visually interesting videos right now, I would say. And you know, the videos are like so cool, and like people like Adam and I and the listeners of our podcast probably like really love the videos of Megaforce. However, like their videos have also been like replaced by just like party videos because they aren't necessarily like commercially appealing or something like that. But they make some of just like the coolest music videos you'll ever see. And the Is Tropical, the Greeks video is an example of that that I chose because of how because of its awesomeness that exists within it. This video is kind of like kids shooting like toy guns at each other, but over top of the toy guns is like animated real guns and animated explosions and blood and you know, just awesome stuff. Check it out.
Okay, number two. Here comes my number two. And this was, if you paid attention to music videos at all in 2011, you definitely check this one out. Tyler, the Creator of the Yonkers video. And this one broke in late February, a lot due to the fact that Kanye West tweeted that he thought it was the best video of 2011, which at that point was only 2 months in, so that was a little premature. But it was nominated for a Video of the Year award. And guess who lost to Katy Perry's Firework, which was a great video, I guess. But I feel like this one was definitely a lot better. And it's kind of hard to put your finger on what people found so appealing on this because of this video, because I think it really definitely launched Tyler, the Creator's career in a lot of ways. I don't know. It's black and white. It's very real. Very kind of has a little bit of a shock value, and just a really very entertaining video. I think the main one iconic image from this that will remain is a little bit of a gross out one is at him eating the cockroach. Do you remember this? Were you a fan of this video, Doug?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Had this video not been on your list, and since we didn't want any crossovers, that video easily could have made my top five. I mean, it's really great. It's just, you know, you're right. You know, you don't have to question it. Like the reasons you said or why, like it's a little bit of shock value. You know, kind of like the charisma, and just kind of, you know, just kind of like that. For me, it's like it doesn't really cut away, you know, like all the cuts are very seamless. If there is cuts, like I don't really know how the production worked. But like it's kind of just like locks in on the action, and it's just all this ridiculous stuff happening, and there's nothing else to kind of break you away from that for the whole video. And you know, those feelings are only intensified by like kind of the song and the way the delivery of his lyrics. So yeah, I think that's why, probably.
And it was directed by listed as Wolf Haley, who is not an actual person, but Tyler the Creator's named alter ego, which is a big
Right.
thing now. So
I
there
think
you
he's
go.
got several named alter egos, and that's just one of them.
Is he like Nicki Minaj, who does that thing? She has
I don't
different.
know. I don't know if he's like Nicki Minaj. I just think he's just like a really like eccentric kind of guy.
Right. Well, there you go. Those are number twos.
That's such a lame word though, eccentric. Like I hate that I just said
Even
that.
like I when I picture
He's like
eccentric, I
Johnny Depp. Yeah, he's Johnny Depp, right? Taylor the Creator, Johnny Depp, same guy.
now here's the moment you guys have all been waiting for, everybody. We're doing
Yes.
We're doing number one.
For topsies of the year. My number one pick is, and I'd be surprised if this video doesn't end up being, like on some of the other top five videos of the year, if there are any of those lists other than our own. But this is Chromio When the Night Falls, directed by Daniels. I'm a fan of like the director duos, like Daniels and Megaforce. I think, I don't know, Daniels are probably my favorite. Like, they keep coming out with more like just videos that are so awesome and fun. And this one is like a highlight. It was one of my picks of the week earlier in the season. The concept of this video is women lock eyes with Chromio as they perform and burst into pregnancy, and then chase them down in the streets. Just it's just like just such a ridiculous and fun and funny concept that it belongs on this list and in this spot. What up with that?
Number one, and that is a great, fantastic video. I love that video.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best of 2011, an entire year.
Yeah, IMO.
What does that mean?
In my opinion.
Oh,
What?
right.
Internet talk.
You can't say internet things on a podcast.
No, it doesn't. It's not. It doesn't have its place here. You're right. So you, numero uno.
So numero uno. I was actually looking around at top 10 lists just to kind of see.
Just a cheat. Is
Yeah,
there?
just to kind of cheat. Well, actually, probably if you look around top 10 lists, none of mine are on anybody's except maybe Tyler the Creator, and except maybe this one because I can't remember whose list it was on, but it was also number one, and I had the exact same number one. I was like, yes, somebody else agrees with me, and that is definitely a major mainstream video, and that is Lady Gaga's "Born This Way," which came out on a Monday, February 28th, 2011. So February is a big month for music videos, and it kind of says a lot that nothing was really able to top it from there. So why I like this video, I think it has two elements that are really important for a great music video. Number one is just really fantastic energy and editing. This video is a little bit famous for a really kind of prolonged, but not overly long, film-esque, 1980s film, very cinematic opening. This is when Lady Gaga was all about the whole birth metaphor, and you'll definitely find lots of that in here, including a really weird birth scene. But once the actual "Born This Way" song starts, which is a really sort of hard-driving, really really energetic song, they actually kind of switch from this odd cinematic mode to a really, really tightly shot and really tightly edited music video that is coupled with the second element, which I think is really important, is just a really fantastic performance by Lady Gaga. You'll see there's just parts of the video where she just kind of goes a little nuts or kind of really starts getting into the music, which is difficult because on a music video shoot you're. I mean, you hear a song, 100 times a day. It's kind of hard, difficult to capture really elements and or moments of sort of raw emotion and connecting with the song. And this one really happens to feature a few of those, and they really play well into the actual music video. So I think from every aspect, from the production to the whole concept of it to the actual performance, it was definitely the by far and away my favorite video of 2011.
Sweet.
So our interview for this week, Doug, is I was really excited to talk to this person because they're new, sort of new onto the scene in the music video world, and that's always exciting. Her name is Lea McKissick, not McKissock, because we were corrected on that duly.
You were corrected on
I
that.
was corrected, right? Lea is actually in college right now. She's a college senior. But she's been attracting attention for her music videos that she's been working on while she's been a student. One of the ones that caught her eye was the LBCK video "Start," his orchestra video "Black Coffin," Pack of Wolves' "When We Go" music video, Red Cortez "End of an Era," and then the most recent one that was done in 2011. which we spend a little bit of time talking with Leah about, is the Mika Benyamin "Nothing Is Wrong" video, which is a really fantastic video, almost a one shot. So,
Quickly, let me just, it is one shot.
it is one. Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
mistaken. I'm sorry.
Why
My
don't
note.
you take two?
Well, actually, that's one thing we'll talk about is the difficulty of that shoot and the difficulty of getting that one shot, which is actually, for someone who's new to music videos, sounded like quite an interesting experience. So, anyway, and actually, this is we should mention this is our first female director, which we're definitely excited about because there are a lot of fantastic female music video directors out there, and Leah is one of them.
Our listeners know. They know. They're
They
like,
know.
"What?" That's what they said. Woo.
Sometimes we get voicemails, just people going, "What? Love the podcast." Click. So anyway, this is our interview with music video director Liam Mikisik. Let's check it out.
I've been directing music videos since I was about 17, and just been doing it independently, and been going to school at Cal State Long Beach, studying film, and just trying to develop my portfolio, I guess, for now until I can find representation somewhere after that. But yeah, my goal is to be a professional music video director and also do commercials and features later on in life.
So, besides from being actually our first female interviewee on the podcast,
Oh, yay. I was
out
wondering about that actually. It seemed like there were only men
yeah,
that I
it's
saw on your podcast so far, but I wasn't sure.
yeah, so far it's only been dudes, and
Yeah.
you're the youngest one as well. So you
Oh.
take the you take b both awards there.
Very cool. That's
So
exciting for me.
so we're I guess the first question I have is, where did you get into this? Because a lot of the people we talk to are, in their mid-30s. They come from kind of a different era in, making music videos. Probably
Yeah.
for you, they've always been online. They've always been sort of a digital experience. Has that kind of affected the way that you've worked?
Oh my God, that's such a great thing for you to ask. 'Cause yeah, I feel kind of, I guess, a little bit bitter that I grew up in the time that I did, because I mean, I grew up in the 90s and I watched so many music videos on VH1 and MTV, but since I went to college and have actually been trying to pursue this seriously, I've realized how the digital age has like completely transformed the industry. And so I feel like a little bit screwed by the way things have turned out with the internet sort of changing everything, because I've been putting my stuff online for years now and I've never like made any money off of anything I've done. And I don't know, I guess everybody in music videos has a more kind of cynical attitude towards it now. And it feels like everybody's sort of doing it themselves. And I don't know. It's, I wish I had gotten into it like 10 years earlier, if I was like born 10 years earlier or something. But in a way, it makes me stronger too, because I'm doing everything on lower budgets and just trying to scrape things together with whatever I have. And so I think it gives me an advantage in a way, but it's also scary because I think, well, how am I ever going to make any money off of doing this? I mean, eventually I'm going to have to find a way to support myself off of this.
It's part of the way that you, excuse me, it's part of the way that you try to help support yourself and support your art. Is it through like these contests that you're entering, and is the cash prizes part of why you enter them, or is it more as a just a way to get your name out there?
Well, this was an unusual situation. Normally, I don't even see very many cash prizes, especially for like short form content. You know, usually they'll award like some bigger prizes for like a feature-length film at some festivals and stuff, but this was kind of an unusual contest, actually. I've never seen anything quite like this one. So normally it's like I'm more just entering them to get some exposure, you know, with my videos and just to get my name out there a little bit.
And the cash prize you're mentioning
is... I forgot what else you asked now.
No, that's all right. So the cash prize you're mentioning is the $50,000 from the Nothing Is Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong video. When was that awarded? Because that is very. I mean, I've never even heard of a contest that pays that kind of.
Money, right?
For a music video. Where did you find that?
Rare. Actually, it was sort of strange. I just had the Mika Binyami video on my Vimeo account, and someone found me who I guess was working for the company that was putting on the contest, and he sent me a message on Vimeo and said, hey, you know, you should look into this contest and think about entering it because it looks like you might fit the criteria for it. And I checked it out and it was like the video had to be under 3 minutes and you had to be a student. And so I was like, well, perfect, you know, I have this 2.5 minute one shot music video. And so I just put it in there. And there wasn't even an entry fee, which is kind of shocking, because a lot of contests and festivals, you know, there's at least like a $25 to $50 fee every time you enter, and that kind of adds up. But yeah, this one was free, and it was just like, it was almost surreal. It was too easy.
It was like somebody calling you or contacting you out of the blue saying, we have $50,000 we'd like to give you, please.
Yeah, but I was not expecting to win a grand prize with a music video at all. There's always like someone with a short film that's, you know, spent like $50,000 on their short film and like had all this amazing equipment, and they always win contests like this. So it's a rare, yeah, I don't know, just a rare opportunity, I guess.
No. We'd like to get up to a few of your videos in a second, but it just reminded me that, you know, a lot of the people we talk to that are directing music videos, you know, they have to pull together a lot of resources, and, you know, people are one of them, definitely. And, you know, a lot of time they're looking on Craigslist or they're looking at the people in the community in LA and things like that. Has, you know, being in college and having a lot of people around you, you know, probably people who have a little bit of time on their hands to help out with these kind of things, has it been an advantage? Have you taken advantage of that resource?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, like, really the only way I've ever gotten anything done in the college level. I've just, like, gotten a lot of students to work with me for absolutely nothing, for no pay, and, like, they're always so passionate and hardworking, and it's, like, I sometimes just feel really bad, but at the same time, you know, everybody's just looking to get experience in college. So I've just been fortunate to, you know, get a group of really talented people too. And I've tried to consistently work with some of the same crew members all the time. Like I have the same choreographer, Christian Rappinchuk. I've worked with her on like 3 different projects, and she's like the only choreographer I would even think about using. It's just so amazing. But yeah, people like that and my producer, they're just like really loyal and they haul so much ass for free, you know, and pull together these student resources. And the other thing is just getting the school insurance is like a big expense saver.
Right.
It's like when you're a student in film school, like you just kind of already get the free insurance through the school. But if you're trying to do it outside of that, you got to pay for insurance, and that gets really expensive.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And you know, and equipment rental and all that stuff. But yeah, it's really been the only way I could get anything done.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of resources available, and you know, one of the music videos I wanted to have you talk about is we're a fan, by the way. We think, you know, your work is really fantastic.
How did you find my work, by the way?
Oh geez, is that you, Doug?
Yeah,
You're changing the questions around on us now.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I go to I visit Video Static, I think, a lot, and
Oh, okay.
they put a lot of just new music videos out, and I watch them and look for awesome ones to put on the site, because the site is going to eventually have a more automated way of putting music videos on there. But right now, we kind of are just combing the web for awesome music videos. And
Yeah.
that's when, we found, so I found the Nothing Is Wrong music video on, think, on Video Static. So
Oh
that's
my
how.
God, I love Video Static. That was actually my first time getting a post on Video Static. It was kind of exciting for me because I check it all the time to stay updated on new videos. And I was emailing Steven, who I guess is the one in charge of Video Static, and I was like thinking, I don't know if he's even going to post this because they're posting mainly just professionals and people at production companies.
Right.
And so, and he went for it. So you kind of lobbied
Yeah,
to get
he
your stuff on there?
posted. He seems to do independent people once in a while, but he seemed pretty nice.
Well, one of the, yeah, when Doug started putting them up, the one that immediately caught my eye was the LBCK start video.
Oh, okay.
Because it's, I mean, it's, I could hear in your voice that, are you, was, is that not one of your
I'd say,
favorites?
well, no, I'd say I'm actually the most proud of that video. It's just sort of funny to me how well that video stands, even against the Mika Binyami video, because a lot of people don't know, but our budget for the LBCK video was only $1,000. It was literally nothing. It was like I put in like $500 or $600 or something, and the band put in $400, and that was it. It was like just feeding the crew and like renting some lights. That was it.
Well,
And so
I think.
everybody worked on it for free, and they were all students pretty much.
Well, where did that come from? Or did you have some connection with LBCK?
Actually, I did. Well, at first I was listening to a lot of like Daft Punk and Justice on my own. I would like listen to my headphones a lot when I was taking the bus to school. And I do this thing where I tend to come up with music video ideas just from any song that I'm into or any band that I'm into. Like, and I'll write down ideas that come to me. And then I thought of this idea about the wardrobe and the changing colors of the outfit and doing this sort of stop motion effect. And I think I was listening to Justice when I came up with that. But I was sort of looking online for a band that was similar enough to that sound of electronic music to kind of adapt the concept over to an original music video for someone. And I just happened to like, I think I had an English class or something with one of the guys in LBCK, and I found them online, and they had like hardly any fans at that point. They were like, nobody really knew who they were yet, but I saw a lot of talent in the music, and I was just like really blown away. And so I emailed them, and we had a meeting, and I pitched them my idea for the video, and they were like, yeah, let's do it. It sounds great. And so over the next few months, we kind of threw it together with a really low budget production and shot it on campus at my school in the lighting studio that we have access to. And then we spent like 3 months on post-production because the editing was kind of intense. And then after that, we like premiered it. We had a really cool premiere party for that video, actually. And then after that, it was like it got a decent amount of views online, and like people were into it. And then suddenly it was like LBCK has like 18,000 fans on Facebook now. They like shot up completely after the video. It was crazy.
Nice.
And you mentioned the role of the, how important your choreographer has been to your videos, and in that video, it's really necessary to have like a solid
Right.
choreographer. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, how that relationship works, and how you're able to kind of like convey your ideas to her, and have, make sure that what they're putting together works with your idea.
Yeah, I mean, dance has always been a really important aspect of my work, and I guess just a part of my life in general. So I feel really inspired by dance, and I like to incorporate it in my videos. But I found Kristen somehow. I think it was like through a friend who introduced me to her, and she was this like perfect mix because she was a double major. She majored in film and dance, and so I was like, holy shit, this is perfect. You know, she understands the filmmaking side of things, but she's got this enormous dance background and choreography. And so we hit it off pretty fast when we made a video for his orchestra, this band in LA, and we pulled some like dancers together that were all students, and I kind of just show her like video references or kind of explain the style that I'm going for, and I let her just choreograph it, and then she just kind of gotten what I wanted down from the start. So it's always kind of easy with her, and since she's so good at understanding what I want, I've like kept working with her because it seems like she can adapt to any situation. She's pretty incredible.
Yeah, were there any constraints? And I'm not sure what the technical process was, and if anybody hasn't seen the video, the someone dancing, and as they're dancing, you're cutting from different outfits, and it's, I mean, obviously it's an in-camera effect and editing effect, but it works really, really well. Were there any, how did you guys achieve that? And were there any kind of choreography
We,
constraints?
yeah, they're actually, it's, I was so lucky that I made the decision to have a solid white background because that actually made it so that we could cheat the footage a little bit so that, because each shot, you know, she would do the same choreography in a slightly different outfit. And of course, she couldn't hit the same exact spots with the choreography every shot. So she would be a little bit off every time, like to the left or to the right. But because we had a solid white backdrop, my editor could just like shift the footage over a little bit and like match it up pretty well, actually. We were surprised at how well that worked. There were some cuts that literally look like she's in the exact same position when it's cutting from a different wardrobe piece. But I also kind of like the messiness of it, where it's like, it's obvious that we did the effect in camera, and that was important to me to make it like a real cut instead of just like doing some CGI work and having it like go from a fake color change to another, you know? It looks cooler to me to have like real cuts, but our dancer was definitely not so happy by the end of the shoot because we made her do like 1,000 wardrobe changes or something. It was like so much work, and she was like the only, basically the star of the video. We only have LBCK in it for like a very small portion, and so yeah, and she did it completely for free. She was like a dance student at my school, and so it was like really lucky that we had her on board because she's just a super strong dancer.
And like the desire to kind of like show that, like have the cuts kind of be seen at points and like that more natural feel to the video. Does that I read in the other inter another interview that you did that you'd like to shoot something on film. It does that idea kind of come from the same place, like a more natural feel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it probably comes from me just really loving Michel Gondry's music videos a lot, and he's kind of known for doing things the hard way, or like doing them in camera if he can. He'll take that road because it, even if it does take longer or it takes buying like a million drum sets or something, it's like he'd rather do it that way than try to CGI something in, and it just, it shows, and it's so much, got so much more character to it that way. But I really would have loved to shoot that one on film. I wanted it to look quite a bit different than it turned out. We shot it on the Canon 5D, which gives it like a really clean look. Like it's really digital looking, but it still got the idea across. It would have been cool to shoot it on like really grainy film or something, but no one can afford that with that kind of budget.
Now let's talk. I'd like to talk about the Mika Benyami video. Nothing is
Okay.
wrong, because this is the one that won you the aforementioned, first place prize in the contest there. And it's a really, fantastic video. It's gotten a lot of
Thank you.
views online, and I was wondering if you could take us through the where it came from, where how you got in contact with Mika and Benyami, and where the genesis of the idea came from.
Well, actually, after the LBCK video, I felt sort of stuck. I was sort of waiting for a good opportunity to come along with another music video, and nothing was really happening. And I'm pretty particular on the bands and the songs that I work with. Like, I don't want to waste my time making a video to a song that I don't really feel passionate about. Like, I want to feel like it's a song that I would actually listen to in my own spare time. And so I had some potential things, and everything kind of fell through, or there was like the band just wasn't good enough, or everything, it just wasn't going anywhere. So it had been like a year since I had made the LBCK video, and then out of nowhere, I just got this email from Mika Binyami saying, like, oh, I'm looking for a director to make my debut music video, and I have like a $15,000 to $20,000 budget. And as soon as I read that, I was like, okay, I'm probably. That's a big budget for me to be able to work with, because before that I'd only had a $1,000 budget to work with. So then I took a listen to the song and her, well, all her songs really, and I did like her sound enough to want to do it. And then we just had a meeting in LA, and I brought my producer along, and I came up with like two different concepts. One was to do like a French New Wave knockoff sort of thing, where it's like these clips of her reenacting like famous scenes from French New Wave movies. And she didn't really like that one. And so I had a different one just in case she didn't like that one. And I was like, I came up with this idea of her waking up in a bed on the middle of a beach, and her like walking down the beach in a whole one shot music video. And I really didn't have anything else planned out with the video. I had no idea what else was going to happen on the beach. But she immediately liked that idea and thought it was way more just her, I guess, than the other one. And so then we just went forward. But the problem was she wanted the video done in 1 month, which was like really short for me. I was also going through finals at the same time, which kind of was unfortunate timing. But it was like a really good opportunity for me, so I was like, screw it, I'm gonna do this thing.
Yeah, well, 15 to
And so we
20K
did
for a
it.
budget is, I mean, that's for a music video, that's from I mean, what in our experience and the people we talk to is extremely high.
Yeah, I know. I probably shouldn't even be talking about budgets so much, but I think personally, the budgets make all the difference on your creative abilities. It's like to go from 1,000 to 20,000, it did give me a lot more options and a lot more toys to play with, So I was excited about that.
Now you, and it seems like, I mean, when you have a budget like that, I mean, how do you allocate that, especially for something like this? Do you kind of say, I'm going to throw as much as I can on screen, or is it location, or where do you kind of say, I need to spend it here?
Yeah, that was hard for me to figure out because I wasn't even quite sure how far that money would go or what I was going to be able to do with it because I've never had that budget before. And so I sort of just had to trust my producer would sort of keep me in check with that and make sure I wasn't going too crazy with my ideas. But really, it was important to me to have an insane, like, art department budget because that's like my favorite department to have fun with and be creative with. And so, yeah, I wanted to be able to do something more elaborate with the production design. And then I needed to shoot something outside also because all my stuff before that was like locked inside a studio space. And so, yeah, I wanted to find a way to do both those things, like be outside and then experiment with the production design a lot. But I guess maybe it might have been a bad idea to try to shoot a one-shot video with all those elements too. So with the one-shot thing, it definitely made it a lot more stressful and complicated for me.
Well, I think p anybody who's been involved in a production would take a look at it and be like, aha, this sun looks like it's, It seems like that was one of the last shots of the day. I mean, was it something difficult to get down? What was the production day like?
Oh my God. I could
Lot of
talk
can
way
of
too
worms.
long about this. It's so funny that the song is called Nothing Is Wrong, because everything went wrong on that video. It was insane. But I'll try to keep it brief. Let's see, how can I shorten this down? Well, the main problem first was we ended up with 50 mile per hour winds the day we were supposed to shoot it out there. And so it was like a nightmare for the wind to be that strong, because like it was freezing and the sets were like falling and blowing away. Like we had like a tent collapse at one point. It was just like really chaotic. And of course we were trying to shoot it on a steady cam, and a steady cam operator like needs low winds so he can hold onto the camera and be really steady the whole time. And so we're like, oh crap, like there's no way we can shoot in these conditions. So we had to try to move the whole production over to the next day, which like made us go way over budget. And then we happened to lose our Steadicam operator that was booked with us, which sucks because the original Steadicam operator we had was just like a total badass. Like this guy was amazing. But so he couldn't do it, so we had to find an overnight replacement for our Steadicam op, which is kind of difficult considering the fact that we're already like way over budget. We didn't want to spend too much money on a Steadicam op, but yet it was a crucial position because the whole thing is one shot on a Steadicam. And so we got another guy, but by the time we were shooting with the Steadicam op, the new guy, he like couldn't hold the camera all the way through the shot. He kept stopping like right in the middle, and he would say it was too heavy, you know. And so we tried to shed as much layers off of the Steadicam rig
Jeez.
as we could, but then we were losing all this daylight, and we still hadn't gotten the shot. And like, there, we got to a point where it was like, okay, we're about to lose the sun like completely, and we still haven't gotten the shot. And so at one point, my producer was like, and the AD, they were like, okay, we're gonna have to try to just get through half of this shot and like digitally connect the rest of it together. And I was like so pissed off at that idea, because like it needed to be one shot, you know. I didn't want to connect two shots and have to say forever that it really wasn't a one shot video. And so then we tried that, and the guy couldn't even get halfway through the shot, so we fired him. And then like my cinematographer luckily is just like a total badass, and he just shot the whole thing handheld, which like completely changed the look. But it was just amazing because we got the shot handheld like 5 minutes before the sun was like completely gone. So we only ended up with the one take that ended up being the video. But all the other takes before that were like trash. Like they looked awful.
So I
It
guess
was
the
just like a
Steadicam
really crazy.
operator shall not be named. I guess it's
Yeah. Oh my God. I shouldn't name that guy. I was so angry though. Is it? I mean, it shouldn't have been a problem for the weight. It
right.
like we were shooting on the Alexa, which is like a digital camera, you know, and it's those cameras are supposed to be easier to do those shots on. So anyway, it was a weird experience, but I think I learned the most off of that video than anything else I've done. So it was, I guess it was a good experience in a way for that reason.
So you finished the video, submitted it to this contest, and then won a significant cash prize. And I understand there was a little bit of a problem, legal problem with, obviously, you profited a great deal off the video. Was there a problem with the artist?
Yeah, well, I am happy. It was like a really fortunate win because I am still profiting off of it. But I did, yeah, I had some problems with the artist, which I'm unfortunately not allowed to talk about. Like, I wish I could, but
Oh no, that's cool, because
yeah.
you're our first. Oh, that's actually pretty cool. You're our first. I can't talk about that for legal reasons, guests. That's
Really?
awesome. Yes.
Adam chose to ask that just so you would say Without you can't talk about
He
it.
said I'm legally not allowed to speak about that. I know, it makes it sound like so much more dramatic,
Like somebody
but
got murdered on set or something.
yeah, well, I feel like the video got murdered to a certain extent because we did one thing that I have to talk about is just we ended up having a really big dispute over the final version of the video, and Mika wanted to color correct it completely differently from how me and my producer wanted to color correct it. And so we kind of ended up with two different versions. But her version is technically, the official video,
But
which my friends were not
yours
very
is the
happy
one
about.
that was yours is the one that was entered in the contest though, is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, is there also a change at the end of the video in the official version that's on the Mika
You
Miniyama?
noticed.
Yeah.
It's been bothering me. There's been no YouTube comments about the differences with the videos. I guess no one's really that observant about these things, or maybe nobody cares about it. But I don't know. It's just to me, it bothers me so much, these differences. But in the end, it's her video, and she has the final say on how it's going to turn out. I'm just the director.
Well, if you're not allowed to say it, maybe we can say that the ending especially, it's really weird. I don't know, that really it really stood out to me. I don't know,
Yeah,
that was
no,
funny.
I feel really happy that you noticed it, actually. I thought I was the only one that was bothered
But
by that.
I can't get it. It's just funny that there's a dispute about color correction, 'cause I mean, you rarely hear. I mean, maybe it's just because you're
Yeah.
not in the business, but usually when we talk to people who have had disputes with artists, it's over a cut or something major. But it's just interesting that it was over color correction.
I know, I thought I was in the clear. I was like, Jesus, I have a one-shot video. How many disputes could possibly arise out of the creative end here? And of course, we still ended up with one over the color. And I was especially shocked because we had a professional colorist do our color, and this guy really knew what he was doing. And so we just totally didn't expect her to be unhappy with the color, but I guess she's happy with the one that she has now. I still don't get it, but she likes that, so what can you do,
To me, it looks like she like took the video and made those changes herself in like
She did, yeah.
iMovie.
She did. She took it
Like
to someone in Israel, actually. We don't know who she took it to, but she, I don't know. I'm a little confused by her actions because she's Israeli. She's an Israeli citizen, but she lives part of the time in LA. And she's flying a lot back and forth between the two countries. But I did find it strange, she hired me to make the video when I'm just this young American girl who's still a student filmmaker and stuff, to make the video. But she, in the end, sounded like she trusted the Israeli people a lot more with the color correction than any of us with it. So I don't know. I hope next time she hires an Israeli director or something.
Yeah, that's well, it sounds like this video has been quite an experience
Yeah,
for
it was interesting. I'm still really glad that I did it though, because I learned a lot, and it was a huge budget to work with. I mean, honestly, that was a professional budget, and I'm still a student, so it was really cool to be able to have that.
Now, I also wanted to ask you about, like we said, your first female guest on the podcast, and one. I mean, the pool of female music video directors that we've come across is small. I can think of like Sarah Chatfield, and even some feature film directors like Sofia Coppola and things like that that I've directed music videos. I mean, what is it? Is it like kind of looking, from your perspective, looking at the music video industry, where there is like a predominantly male directorship? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, with the whole film industry, really, it's still extremely male dominated, and that was always one of the reasons why I feel like it's more important for me to become a director than to like maybe settle with a different job or something. I feel like there needs to be a lot more women directors out there and just expressing the female perspective, you know. And it does kind of bother me because I'm a media studies major, and so I'm constantly analyzing films that are directed or written by men, and they represent women in a certain way. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, men can still do really great representations of women, but I feel like it's a little unfair when you don't have as many women out there to show what it's really like to be a woman, you know, and show the real perspective. And so, yeah, I think music videos are a huge part of that too. We see a lot of like sexual stuff in music videos too. And I think as a woman director coming into music videos, it's like kind of an important asset for my work because hopefully like more women will come to me and maybe think that because I am a female director, I'm not going to try to overplay like the sex appeal or something with their videos and take a different perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know the females definitely figure heavily into your video right now. The one we didn't get a chance to talk about was the his orchestra Black Coffin, which has you know a group of I mean there's males as well, but you know a group of female dancers. Obviously, the Mika Benyamin has a group of females, and the I mean LBCK video is you know features dance. And if I want to go into my film school auteur theory talk. As you know, kind of, you know, deals with the female body a lot. I mean, is that a way that you see that you can kind of communicate that differently as a female director?
Yeah, I think so. I am definitely more concerned with showing like an empowered, strong female than like a weak side female who's just kind of there for her sex appeal. And I mean, I love putting women in there who are dancing and they're expressing themselves more with the, I don't know, I guess with dance it's a little bit weird because it is, you're expressing through your body, but it's like kind of more about your mind to a certain extent. I don't know. But I think with what I've noticed with my videos is I feel like everything I write or everything I come up with, it's like so obviously an extension of myself. Like I even cast these girls that like kind of look like me in a weird way. And I don't know why I do it. It's like as if I am putting my alter ego out there in the world. Like I cast these girls with like dark brown hair and light skin, only just because I think I see myself in them every time.
Nice picture you got of Leah on the page, by the way. Where did
Yeah,
you
she
get that
sent it to
one?
me.
Oh,
She
she
sent it to
did?
me. She sent
Oh.
me like three. She sent me three to choose from and told me to pick. It was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's a nice one. She's got some sort of marching band hat on. Go to filmedinsert/n/Leah Das McKissick and check it out.
So we did our top five favorite music videos of the year. Do you have a top three least favorite or worst music videos of the year?
I do have my top three worst. I'll go through them quickly.
I have the top three worst too. I wonder if we'll have any of the same.
So let's start. I'll start off with my number three. Number three, Lana Del Rey video games. Some people put this actually near the top of their top 10 list for this year already. This is an awful video for one reason. It is trying to create an atmosphere, but try as I might, there's no real common thread running through them. I think it's just a completely random jumble of things that are supposed to look like somebody that you know that somebody would sorry, I'm not explaining this well. It's a completely random jumble of images. Some people may find some sort of meaning within them, but I think it's a completely overproduced and really, for lack of a better word, fake video. So Lana Del Rey video games, you suck. You make out on the top three worst list of 2011.
My number three worst of the year is Jay-Z, Kanye West, Otis.
A bad music video,
Just because of how disappointing it is and how like you like two like crazy charismatic performers, one of the greatest music video directors of all time, and the video they come up with is let's like slow down the footage and take apart a Bentley. When like by far the greatest moment is Aziz standing there in your music video, I think if not for that scene, this would be the worst of the year just because of the untapped potential of this music video.
Number two, worst of the year. I talked about this before on the podcast. Lil Wayne, How to Love. When this video came out, everybody on Twitter was talking about how emotional and amazing it was. But in reality, it was like a lifetime melodrama. It was like a Spanish soap opera. It was just completely over the top melodramatic. It had a point and it beat you over the friggin' head with it. And, it was very overly simplistic, just like the song. So I think it had a very, very short shelf life, and the reason why is because it was the second worst video of 2011.
My opinion of the second worst music video of 2011 is actually a member of Adam's top 10 list or top 5 list,
Uh-oh, here we go.
and that's Lady Gaga, "Marry the Night."
Wait, hold, I said Born This Way, not Marry the Night.
No, the artist,
Oh,
not the
the
song.
artist. Okay, right.
Artist, not the song, right? 14 minutes, directed by Lady Gaga. Just like, and especially knowing that she's capable of doing wonderful, great music videos, and this one just totally misses the mark. And some may call it ambitious, some may put it on their top five, top 10, whatevers. But I just am not a fan. Think it missed so much so that I call it the second worst video of 2011.
Well, then here we go. We got my number one worst video in 2011. Again from February. Wow. February was a weird month. So this song, when it came on the radio, everybody enjoyed it. It was very popular. I thought it was possibly the worst song of the decade, and that is the Katy Perry, Kanye West, song ET. And I'll tell you why. Number one, if feels like Kanye. I love Kanye West. He's completely phoning it in here. His sort of little verse on the song is completely 100% brain dead. It has absolutely none of the characteristics that make any of his other music great. And the other reason is that the song is just d disturbing on a few levels. It's I don't know. It's listen to the lyrics. Think about them. Let them go through your head. It's not one of those kind of cutesy videos where you're like, oh, that's a, that's what the kids are doing. It's just a kind of a disturbing video about disturbing people. And so, and people just like vomited all over themselves with love for this music video, for this song. So when the music video came out, they were like, this is a big hit song. It's kind of a big hit music video to go along with this. And I feel like every second of this music video was just exuding this really bizarre self-importance. I feel like it looks, I mean, it's an interesting visually looking video, and obviously some work went into this. Let me find the name of the if Faria, she's the worst to pronounce music video last name of all time. Floria Sigismondi. I mean, there's a lot of makeup and technical work that went into this video, but I feel like every single second that was worked on this video was a complete waste of time in every respect of the word. I think it just is devoid of any sort of feeling or piece of artistry or anything else that makes a music video sort of worth watching, just like the song. I just feel like this marriage of this Kanye West and Katy Perry with this awful song was some sort of weird money-making ploy. And that's the music video, that's the song, and I hate it with every fiber of my being, and I would like to set fire, dump gasoline on it and set fire to it.
Kill it with fire.
Oh boy. That was too intense. I shouldn't have gone that far, but I just dislike the video. So anybody who thinks I went too far, sorry.
Yeah, that I don't think you went too far. But I do think that my pick of the week is worse than my excuse me. I do think that my worst video of the year is worse than your video. Because I don't think it's just a personal taste thing for this music video. I think this music video has created a new definition of what a bad music video is, and that
Wow.
is Rebecca Black Friday. I think this video is kind of like, to me, it's like the anti-filmed insert. Like we take time to like find people who like spend a lot of time to create their music videos and like make sure, you know, a lot of them like make sure that the artist and the song fully represent them and it's really going to be able to like grow them as an artist. And I think that Rebecca Black Friday kind of represents everything opposite of that. It's just like someone who paid money to make a silly song because the kid wanted to sing. And it got watched like a billion times and made like Rebecca Black like a pop icon of the moment. And so because of that, I'm soapboxing it up and picking Rebecca Black Friday as the worst video of 2011.
Doug and I are both. Doug and I are both. We work on the web. We're both failed. Well, I'm failed. Doug is not so much. We're both failed like production people. So we know how it hurts. Definitely.
I see.